Good evening. Let's find a hymnal. Turn over to number 250. 250. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Amen. Yeah, let's all stand. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave the worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubles the Savior can see. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Amen. Amen. Good to see you tonight. I'm glad you folks came out tonight. Amen. We've got a lot of folks that are on vacation and some are sick or filling in for others that are sick or different things. And so just every time we meet together, you're needed. Amen. Amen. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time to be gathered together here tonight. I want to pray that you would have your will and way in our time, in our service and prayer and all the things that we talk about and think about and pray about. Lord, pray that you'd be honored and glorified and that you'd bless now. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Brother Ed is out this evening, so we're getting some extra letters. We're going to have Eddie come and
good evening, everybody. Whoa, that's loud. How about we start this evening off with some praise? Let's praise God for what He's done this week. Does anybody have a praise they want to share? I'll start, and you think of one while I'm going. We're right now in the middle of working on a boat out on the port, and it's hot. And the last 2 days have been challenging for everybody, but God has been a blessing to me personally in dealing with not just coworkers who are living in the world, but also strangers that I've never met before that we've hired as temps. And it's given me the opportunity to share God's grace with them. So it's been hot. I'm sunburnt. You can see it's been rough, but God's been great in giving me the opportunity in the position I'm in to be able to talk to these people. So it's been a great week for me. What about you? Someone has to have a praise, Pastor.
So Katie and I went to a conference Monday and Tuesday in Orlando with school things, with a scholarship program, and all the different things. Well, I think we learned quite a few things. I think it'll be helpful with dealing with kids as well as some of the program that we are behind on and didn't understand. So very profitable.
Well, praise the Lord.
It took 2 full days, but, well, a day and a half. But it was time. But it was a blessing.
Well, that's great. That's great. And I hope that we learned some stuff to take into next year, stuff that'll benefit for the school, for the sake of the school and everything great that's going on there. How about a praise for that? We had a first great year, and you got to see kids that came in who were a certain way, and you got to watch them grow as they grew closer to the Lord and got to see them change. That's a praise. What about someone else? Someone else has to have a praise. Somebody. That's what she was telling Krista a little while ago. She was saying that she went to pick up one of the girls, and the girl said, "Can my friend come?" And she was and her friend wanted to go, and they were ready to jump in the van and go. They didn't even ask mom, and she said, "No, we have to go ask mom before we do this because we can't just take you." And mom was, "Yeah, sure, go ahead, that's fine, we'll see you later." So if we can get them, we'll get them. But we will avoid any kind of illegal actions. Yes. So that's praise. Anybody else? Someone has to have more praises. Miss Jessica.
Yeah. Miss Judy here.
Yeah. Grandma. What about you? How'd your surgery go?
It went very well.
Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What about anybody else? Praise. Come on. We're praising Jesus. Everyone should be praising Jesus. No? Okay. All right. Well, we'll go through the prayer request. I actually have another testimony I want to share, and this is a little personal for me. We've been in discipleship, and last week we went through the fruits of the Spirit, and what are some things that you think God's working on you with? And one of the things we went through for me was long suffering, being able to put up with some people. And there's been an individual in my life who's been very, very difficult to deal with. He's living a lifestyle that we would not agree with, and he's married, and it leads to some confrontation on what I believe and what he believes life should be like. And over the course of him being around, it's been about 6 months, and it's been a little bit of a struggle for me personally trying to deal with him, and him being the way, living his life the way that it is, and there's been some clashes here and there based off of that. And he ended up leaving. Today was his last day. And when I heard that he was leaving, I was so excited. It's like, he's finally gone. As we were talking about it, a rocket went up. And I said, SpaceX is celebrating too. Like, I was, and after I said that, what am I really saying? I had the opportunity to talk with this guy for 6 months, and my excitement was that he's leaving. Well, today, before he left, he came over and shook my hand. And he said, "Hey, I want to let you know something. I've heard about the things that you're planning on doing, and I think that that's very good for you. And I want you to know that there needs to be more people like you that claim to know God and are kind to me and people like me." And yeah, that's exactly how I was like, well, way to make me cry before you go. And it was, I want you to know that I care for you. I do. And what you're doing is wrong. The lifestyle you're living is wrong. But that doesn't mean that I can't shake your hand and tell you God loves you and be kind to you. And so that's the last thing we said, and I'll probably never see him again. But that's my testimony. So we'll go into prayer requests. Does anybody have an update on their prayer requests on the list? Anybody? Brother Bob. Oh, praise the Lord. Good. That's Joe. That's Brother Bob's neighbor. She had her knee surgery, and her recovery is going very well. Brother, that was. I was looking around at everybody else, and there's that little tiny window, and I see you like going like that, flagging down the ship.
It is.
Any other updates? How about prayer requests, Grandma?
Just traveling with my sister tomorrow,
Grandma and Grandpa are traveling up to Alaska. So pray for traveling mercies, especially after her surgery. Brother John, I was thinking about this. Have you ever gotten in touch with your brother? Not yet? Nothing. So I want to make a comment on that. We prayed a few weeks ago about that, and I was praying with Bear, and he had made a comment. He said if John can't get in touch with him, we're praying that you send somebody to talk to him. And I think if we trust God that, or pray that Brother John can get in touch with him, but if not, we're praying that someone else gets in touch with him and can lead them to Christ, and then maybe come to John with a whole different excitement, a whole different phone call. So we're praying for that. Anybody else? Miss Jessica. So that's Miss Liz with the health issues that she's facing, some serious ones. So let's bring that to God tonight. Anybody else? No? All right. Well, we'll break up and pray.
Father, we are thankful for this time tonight, Lord, that we might gather together and pray and lift up our burdens and our petitions. Lord, we might pray one for another, and Lord, even those, some among us, those that aren't here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, hear our prayers as we come together. Lord, I know that you hear us, and Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, meet our needs, and Lord, help us to see your hand working in our lives, and we'll give you thanks, Lord. Would you bless now our time this evening, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs tonight. I do want to mention, by way of announcement, that we have coming up this coming Sunday in the p.m., the LePages are going to be with us. So that's a blessing. They had been traveling in our area, and I said, listen, if you have an opportunity to come down, we'd love for you to come. And so he wrote to me Monday and said, hey, I'm going to be there. He said, I'll stop by and just say hi on Sunday night. I said, if you're going to come, I want you to come and preach and present your ministry and so forth. I mean, when I say present, I mean, we know, but tell us about it, give a report, rather. And so they're going to do that Sunday night. So we're going to have LePages with us Sunday night. So you know what that means? Getting out a free card for everyone that's here Sunday night. You get a free card, and they will sign. They don't have any of their table stuff with them, but they'll come, and you can get a card and get some signatures. And then the next week, next Sunday, the Crays are going to be with us in the morning service. So we're going to have another missions conference the next couple weeks. But anyway, I'm so thankful that it's really, really wanting our missionaries that we could meet them and they'd get here. And so some of them, the church has been supporting for years, many years, some over a decade. And barely anybody in the church that knew who, you know, even had met them. So it's exciting when there's people, like Miss Liz said last Sunday, we know them. You know? And so it's exciting when we know them. And so looking forward to that. All right, June. What is wrong with me? It's going to be one of those nights already. I looked down and I was going to say Proverbs and I said June. It's June 10th. Turn to June 10th. Oh, man. Y'all know when it starts like that, where it's going from there. Proverbs chapter 2. Oh, man. Verse 20. I'm going to Proverbs 20, verse 2. Wow. Okay, chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So we've been talking about the voice of wisdom, and this is really going to conclude our series of the voice of wisdom. This lesson, we'll see if we finish it tonight. Usually we do, but we'll see what happens. But this is going to be the end. It's the end of chapter 2, and it's really, of course, there's some other places that mention that, but it's really kind of together in this and the voice of wisdom. And so and I want to tell you, and the lesson tonight is really a voice of wisdom that really knows the destination. Knows the end. The voice of wisdom is calling us in a direction. And so what I want us to think about, we've been talking about this as we've gone through these chapters, is every voice leads somewhere. Okay? Every voice is leading us somewhere. The sinners in chapter 1 were leading us in a direction. Look over there at chapter 1 and verse 10. I want us to read through some of these verses. We can kind of see this certain voice, as we mentioned. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Right? You see this voice of the sinners is this one that is offering gain. Right? The voice offered gain. If you come this way, this is what you'll get. Right? You see that? The voice has a direction. If you come this way, if you do these things, what you're going to get, what's going to come from it, the direction is that you're going to get gain. And we'll all have one purse, and things are going to go great. He goes on in verse 15. It says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread inside of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." So their direction is immediate gain without regard for where it came from or what it would cost. Right? You see that? And I don't want to go into this whole thing too much, but there's a thought that comes with this. This is really where the position that we take on gambling is. Not just this, but this kind of thing. This desire to get immediate gain without work. Right? So you say, is gambling itself, is that, you know, something that was just entertainment? I think there's probably some fun with it in this kind of thing. But that's probably not the kind of people we're talking about. You know, the person that goes and buys a lot, y'all are going to like, I can't believe you said that. The person that goes and buys a lotto ticket and just like, well, if I ever win the lotto, I'm, and they go spend a dollar, I don't even know what it costs. Can you still get them for a dollar? John, do you know how much you get them? No, I'm just kidding. Used to be you could, I don't even know what it, honestly, I don't, you know, you go and maybe, it, anyway, you go and get a, for a dollar you get, you go and these people would go and they buy a lotto ticket, and if you win millions of dollars, changes your life, and usually it ruins their life, by the way. But the whole idea, oh, if I ever win, it's really more of kind of a pipe dream thing. You know, I'll get this, you know, and you can't win if you don't play. You know, probably that's not the person that's going to, that's really not what this is talking about. Right, but the person that goes, and I've been in some of these gas stations where they're going to go and they'll drop a couple $20 bills and get these. Do they still call them pickles or something? Scratch card. They call them. Used to be. Remember the things they would rip them open. The pickle cards that they do is you rip them open. Now they scratch them. You tell us our generation that the pickle cards. Anyway, now it's they scratch cards. What they call them now? They'll get there and they'll scratch them. They'll sit right there at the counter. They'll go to an empty counter sometimes, or you're sitting there like, can I just check out, you know, whatever. And so they're sitting there scratching out, and you'll see sometimes they'll turn it in and say, I'll get $5, you know, whatever. Yeah, I'll get that many more. And it's like, it's by the time they started with all that money, by the time they go home with nothing, and what they want is the big gain, right? And it, when I say this, it doesn't matter what it costs, a lot of times at the expense of their family. Right. Gambling can be a terrible, terrible addiction. It presents itself different than maybe alcoholism. Alcoholism is somebody is destroying their liver. They're mean. They're, you know, this kind of these things. But this is the kind of thing where they waste all of their family's things. And so the concept I was trying to get to, I wasn't even going to spend that much time on, is this thing of trying to get gain quickly. I want to get it quickly. And here is the sinners entice thee to get down here and get it. We'll put in one purse together. We'll share the money. We'll go get it. And it doesn't matter. And what it does say here, but it doesn't matter what it costs somebody else. We're just going to get that thing. And remember when putting money in the stock market was about investing in a company? What it was. It used to be about investing in a company. A lot of times now it became, when day trading came, when our technology got day trading came, wasn't about investing in a company. It was really about taking somebody else's wealth. We buy it low and sell it high. So it moves so much, so the person that bought it up here, now we devalue theirs, so now they have no money. So it's about taking. You know, you realize it's about taking from somebody else. Not investing in a company that grows, and because the company grew, hey, now your wealth grew. And I'm not saying there's none of that out there. Don't misunderstand, because there is still that. But this kind of thing, I always thought about that. I worked for Ameritrade many years when it was still just its own company there in Omaha, Bellevue, Nebraska. And I had no idea about that. I began to look at it. I thought, wow, somebody has to lose money. And it's about losing money. The company may not just be a shell company. And I thought, it's all about getting this gain now. And it doesn't matter what it costs somebody else and how it ruins some of these Ponzi schemes. All these kind of things. But here's the thing I want to get to. It's the direction. The voice has a direction, and the direction is you go this way, there could be immediate gain. But then there's so that's the sinner it talks about there. Then we talked about the evil man leads in a direction also. Look at chapter 2 and in verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. So the voice of the evil man offers a dark path. He's got a dark path. His direction is away from the upright. Okay? It's away from uprightness. And into a crooked life where truth is twisted. Truth is twisted. Darkness is chosen and evil is enjoyed. No. This is what happens. It becomes the kind of place where the evil man here is one that goes into a place that actually talks about enjoying evil. Right? It doesn't say... doesn't so much completely veer off in a 90 degree away from truth, but just twists it a little bit. So there was a thing I just read in the news just this evening that the Southern Baptist Convention is having their meeting, their national meetings over in, it's over in Orlando today. It's been past couple of days or whatever. And they just voted 3-1, 75%. They voted to no longer to dismiss any churches that have women pastors. If there's a doctrine of women pastors, they're dismissing it, which is interesting because the Southern Baptists had been veering away from the Bible. It's interesting to see, because that's going to cost them. It's going to cost them. And so it was on a Facebook post, a news station. I say it's Facebook post. It was a news article in a news station in Orlando, and I went to their. And anyway, I went and looked at the article. Then I went back, and all of the comments were against them. All the comments were how they, you know, ridiculousness, this and that. And I thought, well, and I, of course, I don't post on it. That's not my, that's not my thing. I'm not going to be a keyboard, you know, what do you call them? Warrior, a keyboard warrior. Yeah, my sarcasm doesn't come across as well on keyboards. And so I've tried a few times. And I'm like, no, it's not going to be done well. But what's interesting is it was all attacking truth. It was all like, oh, yeah, this is... And somebody says, well, where does the Bible say that? And somebody would comment just some verses. And then the people, you know, would say a bunch of things. And I thought, wow, it's... I so badly wanted to say, is it okay to stand for truth? And I wasn't thinking about that article. I was just telling my wife about it. I was kind of surprised that they... I'm always surprised anybody that takes a stand on truth today. And on a national scene. And so what's happened is there's this small, and now there was a group that's, this group for women ministers and so forth, and, you know, our solidarity with them and how they were attacked and hurt by this terrible thing. And I just think, wow, we just do this. We get this slight twist and we demonize this and it becomes this kind of thing. And next thing you know, we've built this whole theology on something that's a slight twist. And now we say, hey, this is the way. And now we end up having all of this anger and this enjoying actually when people fall. Just heard that tonight. I was like, yeah, they're gone. And then like, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to enjoy that. And we could do that. What I appreciate is, by the way, we all do things. We get a little twisted. And there's this, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God that lives within you and say, is that really how you're supposed to be thinking? And then we're like, oh, man, I am terrible, right? And that's what happens. And so so it's that twisted, that's the direction it's pulling. It's a path where wrong thinking becomes wrong living. And that's the evil man. And then there was the voice of the strange woman, also leading in a direction. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. It says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So, she offers forbidden pleasure. Yeah, you're going to enjoy this life. This is going to be something she's flattering, right? Flatters us and gives us and this kind of concept that's going on here. Her direction looked pleasant, but it descends toward death, right? And this is the thing. But wisdom, in contrary to those things, has shown us what those voices cannot show us. Wisdom, okay, wisdom sees the end of the road, right? The voice we follow matters because the path we walk has a, it's got a destination. You see, now, here's a lie of religion. When I say religion, what religion am I talking about? I'm talking about all. Here's the lie of religion. All paths lead to God. We're all going to the same place. We're just getting there a different way. No, sir. No, ma'am. That's not what we find. It's twisted, it's crooked, right? Usually it has concepts of greedy of gain. I want to get what is for me to follow all the paths. It's often this thing of flattery, because if I can just say, hey, we're all one, kumbaya, let's just hold hands and let's all be together. But the fact is, there is a destination down that path. You can't go, you can't go west, right, and hit the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. So you can, you go around. Well, you're going to have to do a lot of swimming that way, right? You can't go north from here and hit Cuba. Like, I don't want to go to Cuba. Well, if you want to go to Cuba, you ain't going to get there that way. You freeze twice getting there. Right? And so this is the way you say, well, they're all leading there. Can I say honestly? Honestly? You want the truth tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do something different now. I'm going to give you truth. No. Here's the thing. I wish that was true. I wished you do you, I do me. We just be the best person we can. And at the end of it all, we're all going to live happily ever after. I like happily ever after. I like Hallmark movies more than the rest of my family. You know why? In the Hallmark movie, every one of them, even if it's a murder mystery, the good guys always win and everybody's happy. I like it. I like that kind of. If I'm going to watch TV, I want to watch something that makes me feel good, not that turns my stomach. right? That's the way I am. I can't believe you watch that stuff. I just got enough drama in my life. You say, isn't that more drama? Yeah, but it ends well. In like an hour and 20 minutes. Or whatever it is. Not something like that. And so, listen, I wish it was like that. I wish we could all just... But that isn't the truth at all. The path that we go down, the voice that we follow, matters because the path we walk has a destination. Number one, wisdom teaches us to look beyond the present path. Look beyond the present path. Look at verse 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Okay, so Solomon now shows us where the path of wisdom leads. I did something for y'all tonight on this one. I made the blanks a little bit easier so you can guess them. I know everybody likes to guess, and I've had some complaints, mainly my family. They're like, you made them too hard. We can't. I understand part of the game is trying to guess them, right? So I've made them. I used to like to just say, I'm like, you ain't going to get it. You're going to have to play, but I'm going to play with you, okay? So, leads. Solomon's now going to show us where the path leads. So, the word for, look again there in verse 21. For, we see there, the upright. It's a word that connects this verse 21, to what's already been said, okay? All that's been said back here about these voices, now this is the connection. This is, for the upright shall dwell in the land, okay, is what he's saying, and the perfect shall remain in it. So, number one under that, wisdom seeks to bring a man or a woman into the way of good men and the paths of the righteous, and we see in verse 20. Listen, that's what wisdom wants to lead us into the path of righteousness, in the way of a way of others that have followed that way. That's what wisdom wants to bring us into that way. Okay? Now we're going to learn why the path matters. Number two, a path should not be judged only how it begins. Not how it begins. Okay? Y'all like, man, we got this. I'm not that easy. Not that easy. You still got to think through it. So a lot of times this is how we, ooh, that looks like a good path. Yeah. Right? This looks like the easy. You ever done that? Like you're going to go hiking or something? It's like, I've heard of people hiking. No, they're going to go hiking. You're like, there's one path that looks really smooth. And I'm going to go down that one. But everyone's going the other way. And you're like, ha, I'm going to. And then a little bit down the road, you realize why everyone was going the other way. They've been there before. So the path can seem good, but wisdom says, listen, there's more than, the wisdom is really saying this, don't judge a path by how it feels right now, right? This is, because there's sometimes telling somebody the truth, it's not fun. It can be very painful. Now, I will give you a little bit of advice on that. If we do it kindly, the truth with love, with grace. If we do it in a way that I'm trying to help them and not hurt them and not trying to tell them how smart I am and how right I am and how wrong they are. If I tell them that way and they respond badly, I can still feel pretty good about it. Right? But it still kind of hurts a little bit. It hurts upsetting people. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't ever want people. I want everybody to love me all the time. Right? But the thing is, that's not a path that is actually going to lead to a good place, right? Wisdom points to where the path is going, okay? Wisdom points to where the path is going. Not just the how and not just the what not to do, but where it's going, okay? So B, the voice of wisdom shows what other voices hide intentionally. You see that? Now others, no, it's going to be great. It's going to be great doing this, the twisted path, the straight, the lust and the things and the darkness. No, it's going to be great. You're going to enjoy yourself. I see these people. This is an interesting thing. I see these people down here all the time by the gas station. I see them out. They live out here in the woods. And I see him out there, and I seen one earlier today and this afternoon. I was coming, and he's out there smiling like everything. You know, they're like, man, I'm living the life. Living the life. I get to do what I want when I want. No responsibilities, no issues. And they go over here and steal electricity off the sign at the gas station. And at any point, the people come out and say, you're done. No more electricity. I mean, I guess they probably just, I don't know what, you know, what the reasoning behind that is. Maybe just want to be nice, you know. Just, I think nice is nice, you know. And but those people, you ever see come by there after it's rained really, really bad? And like there's standing water out here. They've been living in that with just a tent. They come out soaking wet, look like a drowned rat. They don't look so happy then. I promise you. They don't look. If you drove by there, you see that. And I don't think about people living outside in tents. When I'm, man, it's raining pretty bad. You know, hope it quit raining so I don't get wet going to my car. And they live out there like that, and they've decided, man, I want to live this life. And then you see them, it doesn't look so good. And they got, how long does it wait to dry up? You know, we get into the bad part of the year. They got to go find a place. And so, but that excitement, the excitement of that path, the voice leads to that thing right now. Said, no, you're going to love it. This is the life. Come live this with us. Come join with us. We'll get out of here. And I see them grow. People will be here, and then you'll see, when I mean grow, I don't mean grow like that. I mean, another one will come. And you'll say, are they family or like they form couples or just a neighborhood? I don't know. I'm so curious about it. I'm going to go down there and hang out for a few nights with them. No, not really. But not really. But you see this and it's like the, and this is one example of it. I'm just trying to give something that's really close here to us. But they'll say, this is going to be great. They're not thinking about the destination. Thinking about the right now, what it feels like right now. And listen, the voice of wisdom shows what others hide intentionally. Number one, temptation usually speaks about the present moment. You could use the current moment. That works too. Temptation speaks about the current moment. Right now. Don't you want your problem to be over now? Don't you want to be happy right now? I want to be happy right now. I want everything I ever wanted right now. Yeah. Always that's my idea. You know what? I probably want Taco Bell almost every night. My system might not want that. And my family, my wife, she tolerates Taco Bell. She doesn't really, she's like, you probably want it, we'll go there, right? And so I say, okay, and I'll do something for you. I don't really want to, but we'll get Frosties next door. Okay, I do like that. But so the thing is, this is kind of how we do this thing. The temptation speaks only about the present moment, right now, what you're going to get. So, A, it talks about this, what can be gained, what can be enjoyed or escaped right now. That's it. That's all that temptation speaks about. What you can have, what you can get out of, what you can enjoy. This is what causes a lot of kids to lie. By the way, it doesn't stop at kids. It goes into adults. But kids are fun, but I see adults do this too. But kids, you'll see it very often. Kids don't have to be wicked and vile to do this. Adults, usually when they're doing this, there's a much more wickedness from it. But you ask a kid, did you do this? No. Do you know who did it? No. They're two doing this. They got chocolate on their face. You know who ate the cookie? No. No. You're like, you know you're busted, right? No, I don't know. Who did it? Was it them? Yeah. What is wrong? I just, you know, I want to get out of it. But as kids get older, it really sometimes, if we don't stop that at that point and say, you know, can I just show you in your face, you did this, right? You see there, I know you did it, and there's consequences. So kid gets a little bit later, they get about 7 or 8, 9, and then the things get bigger, and the next thing you know, they're a teenager, and they're going down this road of, no, I didn't do it. And then we'll find adults. Did you do this? No. Well, I just want to let you know, we have footage on cameras that have recorded the whole thing. Could I ask you again, did you do this? Well, right? You know what people think about? You know what temptation gets us to think about? How to get out of trouble right now. Who wants to face consequences? Raise your hand. You like, how many like consequences? Nobody does. Rat was like, am I supposed to? What's the answer? No, nobody wants consequences. You know, nobody wants consequences. That's why when consequences get lifted higher, it deters us more. If you get caught for this, why? There was many years ago, there was in New York City, crime had elevated so greatly, and the mayor told the police force to start enforcing jaywalking. Jaywalking. How many know what jaywalking is? Yeah. Okay. It's just walking across the street where you're not supposed to. Crosswalks. Right? You mean we're supposed to walk only in the crosswalk? Probably illegally in a lot of places. In New York City, that's the way it was. And so people would cut across all over the place, as you would imagine, in a busy city. So they started writing citations, getting tickets for that. And so you got a ticket. I don't know what it was at that time. Maybe it was $20, $50, whatever. Whatever it was. And so it's like when they started enforcing that law, crime as a whole went down. Because people found that when it was going to be enforced, the consequence was going to come. It says, okay, now it's a deterrence. And so what the voice of wisdom talks about that end. But the temptation only speaks about now. It doesn't talk about the present. It doesn't talk about what's coming ahead. Okay? Only talks about what can be gained, what can be enjoyed, what can be escaped right now. Okay. Wisdom speaks with the end in view. Okay, Roman numeral 2. I don't think we're going to get done tonight. I knew I had a big introduction because this is the last one. I wanted to pull it together here. Wisdom reveals the stability of the upright. I didn't say all of them you were going to be able to guess. But wisdom reveals the stability of the upright. Look here at verse 21 again. It says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. So dwelling in the land here is speaking about Israel, of the land God had given them. Okay, we know in the Bible the covenants that God had with His people, the Abrahamic covenant and so forth, and it was reiterated to His son and to His son's son that God was going to give them a land. He promised them a land, and this was a big deal. It was a big deal about that possession. It was part of the covenant that God had made with them. For them, the land was completely connected to God's promise. It was connected to God's blessing and God's covenant dealings with His people. And so this was, when they were in the land, they were in the place God had given them. When they were removed, all they wanted to do was get back to the land. Okay, it meant something more than what we see here. So A, to dwell in the land speaks of being settled. Okay, to dwell in the land is speaking about being settled. When they were in the land, remember before they got to the land, they traveled through the wilderness how long? 40 years, right? And so the whole time they were going to the land, right? They were constantly talking about the promised land, the destination. They weren't, I mean, they were wandering. If you kind of mapped it out, we can't really map it out because all the cities are. But you see, they wandered in a pretty small area geographically. And they just kept wandering around the whole time, heading to the promised land, you know. It's like, I'm going to the kitchen, right? You're like, well, it's back there. Well, I'm going. I'm going to go this way. And then you get down about there, and then you cut back and do it again. You're like, what's going on? Because they had to follow where God led them. They weren't ready yet. What'd they have to do to get there? People had to die. People that didn't follow, they got there actually relatively quickly. God said, okay, you're ready. Let's go on in this. That's going to be too hard. God said, okay, then die. I mean, it's a little bit more than that, but that's kind of what He said. And so they're going, and we find this, but I mean, that's it in a nutshell. But the whole time my point is, the verse, the land, it was about getting to the land, the destination, right? The whole time it was about getting to that destination. So they're going, they're thinking about it, and they're talking. So when, and then we just got the post-exilic Israel. The whole time they were out of there, it was in the 70 years there in Babylon. The whole time they're talking about the land, right? So the land is more than just
it's not simply about a geographical location, right? It speaks of being settled. That's the point. So there's a contrast between being established and being removed. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. But wisdom leads to a life that is settled under the blessing and order of God. Yeah, God. Y'all like, that was too easy. I set y'all up for that. Okay, B. The perfect shall remain in it. The perfect shall remain in it. Okay. What does perfect mean? Sinless, right? No, can't mean that, because that's nobody. Only Jesus can live there, right? Number one, perfect speaks of integrity. There's a word we think about, we think of perfect, the word, the blank there, complete. Upright. This is what he's talking about, perfect. Doesn't mean never gets into sin, never goes off track, never, but it means is always going in that direction. That's the perfect. A, one whose life is not divided between two directions. It's really the concept, and we're going to end with this, but I want to see, here's the concept that he's talking about here, being settled in this land, and the perfect shall remain in it. One, the perfect, when we're talking about perfect in this sense, it's one that's on that path. The voice of wisdom has led this way. They are not constantly over here, I want to go back over. Because that's what Israel did, right? That's what they constantly did. They would follow God, or they would get off the path until it got so bad that the only thing they could do is say, God, forgive us. We're terrible. We've ruined our lives. Save us. These people are going to kill us. They've already killed some of us. Can you stop? And God said, okay, do this. And they'd repent. They'd get back on the path. They're like, man, the path is pretty awesome. Oh, what's that? Right? And they'd get off it again. And he said, those people, by the way, those people aren't going to dwell in the land. And they didn't. Right? They didn't dwell in the land. They were constantly being pulled out, and the northern tribes, they were scattered, never to get back to the land. Southern tribes had to go spend the years in there, but it was constantly in and out. And so what he's talking about here is something they would have understood already. Of course, by this point, they hadn't experienced all that yet. They'd learned this. They'd learned this concept. And so sometimes we have to get into the Word of God, particularly the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, but particularly in the Old Testament, we've got to understand God's relationship with His people. He was writing this to them and to us, but through their circumstances. And so when we realize when he's talking about the land, he's talking about that commitment, that settledness. And so who's going to be settled, who's going to live settled, is the person that is living not divided between two voices. Right? Not constantly switching back and forth. By the way, this whole angel and devil on the shoulders, you know, cartoons, Looney Tunes would do that. I mean, it made for funny cartoons. But that's not really how that's not how God works with us. Right? Matter of fact, and this is maybe a little bit gory, but what God wants to do is take the devil and that's not gory. I mean, not gory. Just smash him. Yeah, thump him off. But he's gone. I'm not going to listen to that. He'll flee from you, right? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now you know really who it is. It's if we got on one shoulder is the Holy Spirit, and the other shoulder, you know who's on the other shoulder? Me. Yeah. Me. That's really the truth of it. The truth is between the Spirit of God and me. That's mostly what it is. And because Satan draws us away of our own lusts. So it goes back to me. And so, listen, we're going to talk about this some more, the destination. But I want us to get this tonight, is this what he talks about. Those that are going to live settled, we'll talk about this more next week. The ones that live settled are staying in that path. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we wrap up the voice of wisdom and, Lord, what you've given us here and these other voices that really are trying to draw us away into immediate gratification. Yet, Lord, your plan is so much bigger, so much greater than the moment. So, Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way, and would help us as we study your word and try to pull out these truths from it. We'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name.